A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In all of the Old Testament, there is perhaps no more theologically loaded account than that story of Joseph and his brothers. The Genesis account we've been hearing from these last 2 weeks. Specifically, the way that Joseph went from the young favorite son to the hated brother, to a bloody mess in the bottom of a pit, to slavery in Egypt, to the Pharaoh's right-hand man in charge of saving Egypt and the surrounding nations from drought and famine. If you wonder why it might be said that this is such a significant passage, consider how many close parallels there are in this story to the story of Christ. Christ, who is, to say the least, a special son, who came to his own, his brothers as it were, and was rejected, sacrificed even by his brethren, cast down into death, and then raised up to the right hand of God, from which he would save all nations from spiritual starvation and certain death. Last week, we heard the portion of the story where Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream and how the revelation provided to this man proved even to the Egyptians that Joseph was a man filled with the Spirit of God. He would be raised up from the lowest dungeon and given a name that was above every name, second only to Pharaoh in authority. This week, we read of what is perhaps even more compelling a scene, the manner in which Joseph saves those who betrayed him and sold him into slavery, the manner in which, as it were, Jesus saved his own, his brothers. Joseph's brothers, sent by their father Israel, arrive as poor and supplicant foreigners, literally begging for mercy from a man they thought was simply a high official in the Egyptian government. A man who was treating them very strangely, actually, demanding that their youngest brother be brought with them upon their return, and demanding of them information concerning the health of their father. And even more strangely, they are caught up in a bewildering occurrence when this ruler was seemingly justified in accusing them of stealing from him. And with no amount of explanation could they justify themselves, and they are themselves brought to desperate tears in front of this ruler. Jacob, their father, Israel himself, is brought to tears as he relinquishes control of his precious son Benjamin, the last remaining son, he thinks, of his beloved wife, Rachel. They're all desperate. They're all at their wits' end. Jacob and his sons are helpless as one thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, as they thought they were completely at the mercy of Egypt. What irony. But in reality, as Joseph was once left to the mercy of his brothers who treated him spitefully, now Reuben and Judah and Simeon and Asher and Zebulun and Issachar and Gad and Naphtali and Dan and Levi and also Benjamin rested vulnerably in the hands of their violently betrayed brother, Joseph. And Joseph will follow for a time in his father's footsteps and play a joke on them. He will trick them, just as the great trickster Jacob. You could easily say it serves them right, and perhaps the trick wasn't mean enough. Could have been a lot meaner. He's only able to play the game with them for so long because Joseph is overcome with emotion. No doubt the wounds that his brothers inflicted upon him were as fresh as the day of his betrayal. But it will not be revenge that wins the day. It will be mercy for the flesh of his flesh and blood of his blood. It is forgiveness and mercy even for those of his own family who beat him up and left him in a pit and left him to his fate in the hands of those who had no care for him. Now, when we hear the passage from Luke appointed for this morning, we can't help but find the circumstances somewhat familiar as well. The question is posed to Jesus from a lawyer who's wishing to justify himself by asking, "And who is my neighbor?" And as his answer, Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in the parable, there is one who, like Joseph, is beaten up, robbed, and thrown into a ditch. And you would expect, as a side note, a priest to stop and help the son of Israel. Nope. He is not so merciful. And you would expect the Levite to stop, someone who's always singing and leading others to sing about God's mercy. You'd expect him to be merciful. Nope. He's not so merciful. But then a Samaritan, someone you've always been told is really no good. He is full of mercy. And mercy is shown in such a way that reveals the selflessness of that Samaritan. Whatever the cost, he will help. Whatever the inconvenience, he will help. Here we have a Joseph, a hated brother, who comes across his wounded brothers, and whatever the cost, he will not leave them helpless. And the question is asked of the lawyer, which of these was the neighbor? Question for a question. And the lawyer knows the answer. It was the Samaritan, the hated one, the Joseph, who was the neighbor. And then the grand finale, not a question, but now a command. Go and do thou likewise. Joseph played both the role of the beaten up man who was spared and the Samaritan who showed mercy. Jesus would play both the role of the beaten up man who was resurrected as well as the Samaritan who would show mercy. But his instruction, go and do thou likewise. Jesus. In the upper room after dinner, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist and washed the feet of the disciples, his brothers, pointing out to them that he is their master, and though they would betray him, yet he is serving, and saying, go and do thou likewise. Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, we read over that very quickly. We hear that very often. We should recall, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, in the night in which he was betrayed. Not a couple years later after he cooled down. The night in which he was betrayed. And says, imitate me. Now he tells this lawyer about the Good Samaritan and says, don't waste your time trying to fool God by asking clever questions like, and who is my neighbor? Just go and do thou likewise. Jesus comes to us as a Good Samaritan. He's come to us as a revelation of truth, as a sign of mercy, as a prophecy about the meaning of the past and a prophecy about what is to come so that we may prepare ourselves and know how we ought to behave. Jesus has been our Good Samaritan and our merciful brother Joseph, and he has commanded us now to go and do likewise. Jesus came to be both the Good Samaritan as well as the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was a Joseph, knowing both the betrayal and the violence of sin. And we have been the supplicant brothers who have betrayed him, sometimes long ago and sometimes very recently. We can understand that he knows our suffering, he knows our betrayal, he knows the suffering we have caused, and he knows us. And he will not be merciless, for his property is to always have mercy. Always. And so these passages are all for all of us. For sometimes we are the ones who have neglected and abused our brothers. And sometimes we are the priest who passed by, the Levite who passed by, the brothers who despised and neglected their own family. And sometimes we are the ones who need the forgiveness and the redemption. And sometimes we are the ones who are in the ditch. We are the ones who have been betrayed. We are the supplicants who need a savior. We are the starving brothers and sisters who come pleading for food. Sometimes we are the ones who come and offer help. We are the ones who, once fed and nourished and surrounded with plenty, are to offer help and assistance to those who are in need. And so the command is not only for the lawyer, but for us. The command is really this for us today: remember the Good Samaritan, remember Joseph, remember Jesus, go and do thou likewise. May God grant us the discernment to know what it is He wants for us to do this day. And as we continue in worship, perhaps we must open ourselves to the truth that we are in all of these categories today in one sense or another. And so we may pray, God, have mercy upon us for despising or neglecting any of your children that you have given your life for. And also we may pray, God, have mercy upon us who have known the violence and vitriol of the world and the betrayal. Feed us and heal us with your body and blood, for you are the bread of life indeed. And we may also pray, God, reveal to us who it is that we must now turn to help, even on the night or the day in which we are betrayed. Show us even this day, bring a name to our mind, the person who needs our hand, our voice, and love, so that we may be said to be ones who obeyed the command, go and do thou likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.